This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And this is the first Wavelength of 2020. So the sound that we can hear in the background What is it? It could be speeded up voodoo drumming, perhaps, or what is it? Horses galloping backwards, or but no, it's the latest release on the Trunk label. Called Mechanical Keyboard Sounds, recordings of bespoke and customised mechanical keyboards, which must be, I've played some pretty strange records on the show over the years, but this one just about takes the prize, perhaps, for being decidedly odd. Is this the shape of music to come? The sleeve notes on the back by Johnny Trunk, he says, "Now, over the years, I've issued some peculiar recordings. It's what I do. I issued a whole album of train buffet car announcements." He is, of course, referring to a broadcast on Wavelength many years ago in which I played a tape of buffet car announcements, which were recorded by Sandra Cross on a train between Leicester and London over several years. And Johnny Trunk heard this broadcast and was so taken with it that he issued that as a record, a vinyl LP, and also a CD eventually. And that was known as the Ems Bar recordings. So that's interesting that he singles that out as one of his strangest LPs, where he says, "I issued a whole album of train buffet car announcements." But it's possibly, what's the word, trounced or something by this one. So this, apparently, this one, which we're now up to moving slowly towards track two, an album of mechanical keyboard sounds was a no-brainer, he says. It's these Stu agreed, so he put me in touch with the master of mechanical keyboard building, Tae Ha Kim. Tae spelled T-A-E, Ha Kim, trading under the name of Tae Ha Types. And Tae also known as Nathan, is based in Southern California. He's on a personal quest to make the most luxurious keyboard he possibly can, and makes incredible custom keyboards for a long list of clients. Within this rapidly growing scene, he is very much the master builder, and now has a significant following via Instagram and YouTube. Just type in Tahar Types, so that's T-A-E-H-A, one word, and then Types. We agreed terms, and over the next few weeks, Tahar Types put together these 12 custom mechanical keyboard recordings. They represent a broad cross-section of the scene with both retro and modern setups. So vinyl LP issued on the Trunk label, mechanical keyboard sounds, recordings of bespoke and customized mechanical keyboards. And then there's a whole list that is very, very specifically listed. Side two, which is what we've already heard, was an IBM P70 from 1990 with a plastic case, Alps plate spring switches, a steel plate, and PBT keycaps. The one we're listening to at the moment apparently dates from 2019. It's called Kiyu, aluminium case. Lubed Gateron ink switches, brass plate, and GMK ABS keycaps. This is now track three. This is Key Cult number 1/65, built for a Rainbow 6 Sage Professional Player G2 Pengu 2019, aluminium case, Lubed Cherry MX Brown switches, aluminium plate, GMK ABS keycaps. And further on the sleeve notes, these are by someone called Stuart London, also known as Future Crime. The keyboards on this record are a mixture of classic old models from the 80s and 90s, which are generally just cleaned up and retain all their original parts, and very modern, high-end custom boards from some of the best designers around, with carefully tuned switches built to spec. They are all either owned by or have been built by Nathan Kim, who has risen to prominence in the community via his twitch.tv channel, where people tune in to watch him build keyboards while soft jazz plays in the background. He's the perfect person to provide the recordings for this record, and I hope you'll enjoy them as much as I do. Especially those Nixies in the 910RE on brass. They sound mint. I can't quite determine whether the keyboard is being played as a sort of musical instrument or whether he's actually typing out a letter.
It says here, Brian, that they're writing off 2.1 million.
Yes, okay, but I know that, and you said that you addressed yourself to that when you first spoke, but what about the response I've just given to you? What about that?
Yeah.
This may be a way of getting money that otherwise...
Number for Mr. Nigel Whittier.
Yes, speaking.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Whittier. You may or may not know me. I'm a near neighbour of yours, Captain Maurice Sutton. I live on the corner of Horton and Holmley Road.
Yes.
And I believe that you actually witnessed an unfortunate slight contretemps which I had with a motor car at the road junction here this evening. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
I wonder, it would be a help to me to know what you actually saw happen.
Right. Well, I saw a car coming down... Horton Road, coming from Raysbury End. Okay, the Allegro.
Yes. Have you any idea what sort of speed it would have been going?
Well, he was only going slow. Yes. And he slowed down, in fact. He slowed down, in fact, because he saw you. And then I saw you suddenly pull across. I mean, you were wobbling. You pulled across in front of him. He was only going slow, which is a good job, actually. I saw him slow down. He must have been doing about 30, I suppose. Slowed down to about 10, 15 mile an hour, and then you pulled across, and of course he hit you. And that's what happened. When you just sort of swerved and veered out and just pulled out in front of him, and that's why he hit you. Because otherwise he could have avoided you easily.
Now, you were coming from the Slough direction, were you?
No, from Slough direction, yes.
Did you actually see the motorcycle and the car touch one another?
Yes, I did, yes.
You did?
Yes.
Did you happen to notice what part of the motorcycle touched what part of the car?
Now, if you're looking at it, it would have been the right-hand side of the car.
Yes. And did you notice what part of the motorbike?
Well, more or less the front end.
front end?
To the front end. I mean, I saw the bike go over, because I was looking at it flat on, straight on, and all I saw was the bike just come straight over.
Yes, I see. Because there's a slight puzzle about this whole thing, and I'm trying to resolve what the answer to the puzzle is, and yeah. So far I don't grasp the answer at all. Because I left my gateway, yes. I came to the crossroads, I stopped, I looked in all directions, and I observed you coming from the Slough direction. Yes. I saw, were you the only car coming from the Slough direction, were you?
Yes, I think I was, yes.
Yes, that's my impression. And what colour was your car?
Red.
Yes, and what make was that?
Astra.
Astra. Do forgive my ignorance, but you know I know about old things, not about new ones. Who makes Astra?
Vauxhall.
Oh, Vauxhall. I guessed it might be, but I wasn't absolutely sure. Anyway, I looked to the right, and I saw nothing from the direction from which subsequently that car came.
Yeah.
I looked to the left, and I saw you. I looked across to Ditton Road, which is where I wanted to go, and I saw a woman sitting at the junction. And I'm always a little worried when I see women, because with due respect to them, some of them are absolutely brilliant and marvellous racing drivers, but they are a minority, and it has been my experience, regrettably, in the past, that quite a lot of women do unpredictable things. And I therefore, would you agree with me there?
There's a few good drivers, yes, but there are a few bad drivers, but there's a few bad men drivers as well, so they equal themselves out. Anyway, I looked at her with considerable preoccupation, and for some considerable length of time, before finally setting off across the road.
Yeah.
And of course the trouble is, you see, that I was brought up in the days long ago when we drove very slowly and very carefully. Whereas today, things tend to move rather more rapidly. And I can only presume that that car that came from the Raysbridge direction must either have been masked. Do you notice that there was a parked car beyond the junction in the direction of Raysbury on my side of the road? Do you see that?
No, I wouldn't have seen that far ahead.
Well, I looked after the event and I saw this parked car. And my guess is that that car from Raysbury may well have been masked behind the parked car from my point of view when I first looked. So that it will then presumably have come out from behind the masking car and then came along. And my intention was to go across the road, and when I felt reasonably sure that the lady opposite was in fact going to stay there, having established in effect eye contact, I went across the road. And in the last moment, I was conscious of the approach of a car from the right.
Yeah.
So I promptly braked very abruptly, with the result that I lost my balance and fell off the motorbike, as you saw, and the motorbike fell into the road. Now, the curious thing is this. Looking at the motorbike, I will tell you the sum total of the damage, because I checked it minutely, and within half an hour I was using it again. The front brake lever on the right was very slightly bent. There were two plastic horn tappets on the right top of the fork below the handlebar, and of these two horn trumpets, one horn trumpet was broken. There was a laminated cardboard advertising sign, which you may have seen. Did you see it on my front mudguard?
Yes.
And at the right-hand bottom corner, in other words, the extreme front edge, edge of this cardboard corner, about 2 inches, was torn.
Yeah.
One of two right mirrors, this is high up, of course, at eye level, was broken, because there are two mirrors on the left and two on the right, as we say in the Deutsche Gründlichkeit, with German thoroughness, because I'm half German. I like to see two angles in both directions. And of the two on the right side, one only was broken and the other was not. The right flasher lens was broken, but the right flasher bulb was perfectly okay. The right crash bar was very, very slightly bent backwards, with traces of road stone grey dust only on the point of impact, on the top right side. But there was no red paint, the colour of that car, you remember, was red, anywhere to be seen. And I was perfectly all right. I probably saw that I leapt off the bike. Did you, were you one of the people who kindly came and helped?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's many thanks indeed. You will have noticed that I instantly leapt up and was quite unhurt and picked up the motorbike, which was virtually undamaged. And we were able, with everybody's kind assistance, to wheel it across the road, lean it against the lamppost. Within half an hour, I was off on it and went to Uxbridge. Well, now, what is puzzling is this. I asked the chap with that car. Oh, by the way, yes, that's important. Did you by any chance see who was driving that car?
Yes, I did, yes.
Who was driving?
The gentleman, the big gentleman, he was driving the car.
Now that is important. That could be quite important. Did you by any chance get his name or address?
No, I didn't. No, I left him with my address as a witness and that was it.
Yes, I see. Did you notice he had a tattoo on his arm?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. Now that could be important. Now, you see, there might, I don't know about this. Anyway, let's deal with one thing at a time. I asked him what damage he had to his car, and it wasn't very easy to look at it because of all the traffic rushing by. But I briefly glimpsed what looked like a very considerable amount of inward denting at the panel work, at the bottom of the rear door, and the bottom part of the front of the rear mudguard.
Yes.
Well, I am absolutely puzzled beyond words. How on earth can there be all that damage to the motor car and virtually nothing to the motorbike?
Well, there's, as far as I saw it, when he was braking, obviously he braked and he was still under control of the car, but the car did slightly veer off to the other side of the road. In that case, I had to brake sharply, and I skidded but stopped, because luckily I was quite a distance away, and I was only doing about 30 miles an hour anyway. And then I saw the car swerve to avoid you, and then obviously he only just touched you, and that's when your bike went over. I mean, obviously he didn't hit you flat on, which is a good job, because obviously there would have been a lot more damage to yourself and the bike.
Indeed, thanks be to God. But now, isn't it odd that there's so much damage to that motor car, and so little and virtually none to the motorbike?
Well, the thing is, I mean, as I saw it, now, having experience having a motorbike myself, myself and actually have had an accident with a car.
Have you got a bike yourself?
Well, I used to. I don't know about myself. I don't know that motorbikes damage, unless you hit them straight on, that you've got levers broken, mirrors broken, things like that, because when they hit the bodywork of a car, the bodywork of a car can damage very, very easily.
How is that so?
It is very true, yeah. The problem was when you hit that, when the car hit you, basically the bike was over on its side. So of course everything came up and hit the bottom of the car, that's the problem. You'll probably find there's a little bit of damage underneath his car as well. That's how I saw it, you see. He was very lucky that it didn't hit your wheel, because he hit the side of your bike, and then obviously everything just keeled over, and this is probably where your brake lever and mirror went.
But isn't it odd, you said, that so little damage to the bike? Because, you see, one would have thought that it's supposed, for the sake of argument, that the crash bar had struck the side of his car.
Yeah.
Then I would have thought,
A, that the damage to his car would be at the height
of the damage to the crash bar. And that is, I suppose, or I hadn't measured it, however high the top of a crash bar is, it's the topmost part. Now that appeared to me in the glimpse
I had of his car considerably higher than the damage on the car.
Well, as I said, you lost your balance.
That's right.
Yeah,
as he hit you see, you lost your balance. The bike keeled over while going along, and of course bringing the bike down to the level of the damage of his car, and that's where the metal made contact with his car. That's how it happened, which is, I mean, does happen quite regularly. Obviously, that if you hit him straight on or side on, you both went side on, there wouldn't have been very much damage, because obviously you'll be going along, and there'll be a few scratches. But because you both stopped, the force of the bike going over, and obviously the crash bar, the metal rod of the handlebar, it's like a metal bar hitting the side of his car, and they're quite solid, those handlebars, so that's what's done the damage. A thin panel of metal, and then like a metal bar hitting it, that's why there's so much damage. It's like a metal bar hitting a thin sheet of metal. Because it's such a big panel, that's why it's damaged it. They do damage very easily, especially on an impact of even 5-10 miles an hour.
Yes, you see, I had only just set out from the stationary position,
yes,
with a view to going across the crossing,
yes,
and I would think that I was doing, well, you must have seen, well, I would say between 5 miles and 8 miles an hour, would you think that's right?
About that speed. He was coming along and he was braking and skidding at about 15 miles an hour, because I saw him slow down. Then obviously he thought you weren't going to jump out in front of him, but of course you did, so that's when he braked. So, I mean, he was good to stop in the first place, or slow down in the first place, thinking that you weren't pulled out. When you pulled out, he then braked and swerved to avoid you, and that's when you clashed.
Yes, I see. Now, the other thing which slightly bothers me, but I don't suppose we can resolve it, it's too late now, I should, and it would have been not a bad thing if you had also, I should have asked for the identity of that man. Because, you see, when I spoke to him, assuming he was the driver,
yeah,
and said, may I have your name and address, the woman looked rather agitated and said, you better have me, I'm the owner of the car. And it didn't fully occur to me, and now it, of course it does, that there just might have been some sort of irregularity there, I don't know.
Well, I mean, as far as I mean, she took witnesses and things like that, and as far as I know, everything was in order. If you swapped insurances and things like that, there should be no problem.
Well, I hope that's all right.
I mean, no,
but you definitely saw that the man was driving.
Yes, I think so. I mean, as far as I looked at the car, I wouldn't guarantee it, because obviously I was too busy trying to brake the car to brake my own car, trying to, you know, make sure I don't hit that Allegro. But as far as I knew, yeah, I mean, the girl was shaking, though, as she got out of the car. So
it was shaking.
Oh, yeah, the girl was shaking. She was quite upset. I mean, she sat on the curbside straight away. So, yes, I would have thought so. Did you get the insurance from him?
Well, that's another thing that's a little bit vague, because when I said, who are your insurance, they said, oh, Bennett of Staines.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Did they tell you that?
No, they didn't tell me that, but that's, yeah, I know Bennett's in Staines.
No, it does exist.
Oh, yes, yeah, Bennett's is the agent in Staines, yeah, that's no problem.
That's fine. Anyway, I said, well, surely that must be a broker rather than a company.
Well,
and they said, yes, well, we think the company may be Pezzus. And I said, how is that spelt? Oh. And they spelled P for Peter, E-S-U-S. Now, it may well be that that exists. I don't pretend to be an expert on insurance, but it's certainly not a name I've ever heard, have you?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, one has heard things like provincial, general accident, legal and general, Norwich Union. These are all names one has heard. But Pessus is one I've not heard.
Hello, this is Ivor. I'm calling on Sunday evening. I've just come back from Runnymede. I've been over with my friend at Bracknell for the weekend. Thank you very much for your calls. I'm much, much better, thank you. I'll try and call you tomorrow when you're in. Bye-bye.
I am Mr. Walmsley. My phone number is 0772741874. I wish to inquire about your electrically heated garments, namely gloves and electrically heated socks. Please ring me back at your convenience. Thank you.
The 081-346-7010. I want some advice regarding old radios. Thank you. Bye.
Guten Abend, Morrissey, es ist Erika. Ich wollte mich nur mal wieder melden. Ich tue das dann nochmal in den nächsten Tagen. Also, tschüss.
Good afternoon. This is Peter Jarvis from Coventry. Coventry 0203-667390. Could you return the call, please, regarding heated gloves and clothes, etc.? Thank you.
I've got some information on the curb.
Hello, Captain Seddon. I've seen your article in the newspaper and I believe I have some information which may be of use to you. If you're interested, meet me tonight outside Datchet Cricket Club at 9:30. I'm afraid I can't leave a name as I fear for my life. Thank you. See you later.
Hello, Morris. Hello. You can turn me back on Mrs. Wilson's phone number, 229-8461, after about 11 o'clock. Or you can phone me back tomorrow morning, 221-5594. I hope all is well. I'm phoning Saturday at 11 a.m. Take care, goodbye. Have a nice weekend.
Hello, my name is West Oram, telephone number 0467-681-515, and I am inquiring about electrically heated gloves. I'm looking forward to your call back. Bye.
Guten Abend, Morris. Ich wundere mich, wo du bist. Heute ist der 28.09. und ich hatte schon vorige Woche angerufen. Da warst du auch nicht da. Bist du verreist? Hoffentlich bist du nicht krank. Ruf doch mal zurück im Lauf dieser Woche. Tschüss.
Yes, hello. Name is Mike Love, L-O-V-E. And the phone number 0705-463534. Interested in electrically heated gloves in ladies' sizes. If you have a brochure, my address is 6 Alexandra Avenue, Hayling Island, Hampshire, PO 11 9AL. Bye-bye.
Hello, so it's West Oram again. Still waiting for you to call me back about the heated gloves. Phone number is 0467-681-515. And I'll be home tomorrow morning, which is Thursday, the 30th of September. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Hello, this is a telephone message for Captain Morris Seddon. My name is Michael Wood. I'm a journalist working for the Daily Express. I'm ringing up because I saw your Volkswagen Beetle on the television recently, and I'd like to do to include it in a selection of cars which I'm featuring in a small piece for the Daily Express. I would have to have a word with you about it within the next few days. If you could call me back, my number is 071-228-4403, and that's my home number and also my work number. So I shall try and get in touch with you again tomorrow, if I don't hear from you before then.
Hello, Mr. Seddon. This is Avalanche Video, Flair. Regarding, you asked us some tapes. They have arrived now. So if you kindly come and collect some cassettes if you want them. This is Everlast Video for Charlie Road East. Telephone Slough 537258. Thank you.
Hello, it's Westor. I'm ringing for about the fourth time. Can you call me back on 0467-681-515 about the electrically heated gloves? Please try to ring back. Bye.
Hello, this is a message for Captain Morris-Hedden. This is Michael Wood. I called yesterday. I'd be grateful if you could call me back either today or as soon as possible over the weekend. My number is 071-228-4403. I shall try and call you over the weekend if I don't hear from you beforehand. Okay, goodbye.
Hello, Captain Seddon, it's Dominic Waghorn here at Star FM. I'm just calling basically on a small point. We're launching an appeal at Star FM here for the Indian earthquake. I was wondering, I had a suggestion that you might be able to help in some way. If you can, give us a ring back on 0753-552810. Bye.
Hello, my name is Dunthorne. I'm on 0753-643371. I've got a 20-year-old gold ring Lenco turntable which I need some assistance in setting up. If you can help, perhaps you'd please be kind enough to give me a buzz. Thank you.
Guten Abend, Morris. Hier ist Erika. Heute ist der 2. Oktober. Ich bin in großer Sorge. Ich rufe dich jetzt zum dritten Mal an innerhalb von 14 Tagen und du bist nicht daheim. Was ist denn los? Bist du verreist oder bist du krank oder ist dir etwas geschehen? Ich bin wirklich sehr, sehr besorgt. Morgen gehe ich nach Bayern für 8 Tage. Du kannst mich also nicht erreichen. Ich rufe wieder an am 12. Oktober und hoffe, dich dann zu sprechen. Tschüss, bis dahin.
Hello, it's Ivor. I thought I'd ring you up to ask about whether or not you have managed to test the bike, because I really do need the money. I've got to try and get the moped. It's possible I need some forks for it. Going, it's my only transport. If you could ring me, or I'll ring you tomorrow. Thanks, bye.
You were quite as tall. You were as tall as that Jonathan Ross anytime. It was really wonderful.
Please state your telephone
number clearly. Messages may be left after the beep. Famous now. Every million people.
Hello, this is a message from Mr. Seddon. My phone number is 0784-243-913. With regard to your value mix, we can do it at that price for you. You let us know when you want it and make sure it's in for you. Thank you.
Hello? This is Cecilia speaking. On this telephone is written Northwood 29379, but I don't think that can be right. Anyway, I better ring you later.
Hello, Morris, it's Patricia. I thought I'd better just tell you that I talked to Cecilia last night, and it seems that Varian has given her a very nice Belling oven and I think, a grill and a burner or two on the top. So maybe she won't really need or have room for a cooker. I know you're going to see her on Sunday. So I thought if you were starting work on the cooker, it might be as well to wait until you sized up the place and decided what she needs. This is only just a little precautionary call to save you extra work. Hope all goes well. Goodbye.
Ma'am?
Mr. Yarlett.
And who do you want to speak to?
Dr. McCarthy.
I'm sorry you have a wrong number.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he is Ursula. Ursula von Germany, von Deutschland. Ich wollte gerne wissen, wie es N geht und ob du glücklich zurückgekommen bist und ob keine Sündflut oder keine Überschwemmung dort war in Kalpe. Und wie es dir geht rundherum und wie es N geht. Und ich sitze halb auf den Koffern oder Möbeln, weil ich im Umzug stecke. Ich muss also noch etwas finden oder mich für etwas entscheiden. Das heißt, wenn man mich nimmt in eine andere Wohnung. Am besten wäre ein kleines Schlösschen oder ein schönes Gut. So viele Sachen habe ich noch. Also behüte dich Gott, lieber Moritz. Und lass mal von mir hören. Meine Nummer ist in Deutschland 07554 1099. Die Vorzahl musst du selber wissen von England aus. Dankeschön. Wiederhören.
Wonderful news, which is that behind this little table with the high legs in the sitting room, there is a cupboard into the wall. And I was sitting rather despondently, wondering where I could look next for my book, my missing address book. And I suddenly saw this cupboard and pulled the table away and managed with some difficulty to get the door open. And out cascaded not only the book, but another lamp, which I thought had been lost on the way, and all kinds of other belongings of mine, which again I thought had been lost en route.
Well, how absolutely wonderful. I'm delighted to hear it.
Oh, it's wonderful news. It's
terrific. I mean, particularly that book, that would have been a disaster.
Oh, well, now, look here. If you're in a desperate hurry to get hold of that woman, Sally, I can now give you her telephone number.
But now you'll have to hold on, because I'm covered in grease. I've got rubber gloves on. You called me in from the motorbike that I was working on in the garden. You'll have to hold on till I manage to get the rubber glove off, which is being difficult, but it's coming slowly. And when I've got it off, I can then handle a pen and start writing.
Yes,
just
right.
Hold on. The struggle with the rubber glove continues. Right, that's got that off. Okay, go ahead.
Now, I must also ask you to hang on, because I've got to go through this address book. I think I know exactly. 1 minute. Hello?
Tom?
Well, now, I shall first of all have to ask you, if you're going to ring her up, that you do so, and I will pay you back, perhaps in the rather nebulous future, because I cannot afford to make a call to Rome at the moment.
No, I will pay for it.
Well, now, her name is Sally Impronta. I-M-P-R-O-N-T-A.
What a lovely name. The Unready.
Impronta. It's the Unready. And her second name, her married name, she's been married about 5 or 8 years, I'm not sure, is Adalardi. A-D-A-L-A-R-D-I. He's a man much older than she is.
Right.
She has a boyfriend, but don't tell her that from me.
Hello?
Yes?
All right, John Dugan speaking.
Sorry?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Did you try your BSA to see how the clutch works?
Would you please hold on? My hands are in rubber gloves and I'm covered in grease. You brought me in from the bike. Hold on while I struggle to get them off and then I'll talk to you.
I'm sorry about that.
Was du machst? Weil du bist ja nie zu Hause. Also, bin wieder zu Hause. Servus.
Um, I might. I mean, I'm not a shop, and I don't normally sell those things. I'm an engineer, and I do technical work, and principally on ancient equipment. I might or might not have what you need.
Oh, I see. I need, is it a 24-pin SCART? Is that the word?
There are some, there is a thing called a SCART plug, yes.
With 24 pins in or something?
I wouldn't know if it's got 24 pins. It's got a very large number of pins, that I do know.
That's right. Well, basically, I'm after one of those. A message to Interpol.
That's most kind.
I've spoken to my inspector.
Thank you.
Now, what he suggests, unfortunately, the system of sending messages to Interpol is somewhat convoluted, and it may not be until the morning before any action gets taken.
My theory is that in that case, the thing has little point.
Well,
you see, he is due to be returning by aeroplane to Britain tomorrow, and that brings me to yet two other points. Mrs. Stubbs said to me on the telephone earlier this evening that he has got... I said to her, I beg of you, do not let him to come into your flat while you're on your own, because you may be thrown over the balcony. And she said, he has got to come into my flat, because he has to collect his clothing and his baggage. Now, as I see it, the correct solution to this is for the clothing and the baggage to be sent to the police station, and for him to be sent to collect it from there, and not to enter her flat at all. Do you agree?
As I was trying to say to you initially, sir, is that because this system is so slow, it might be better if you also phoned Mrs. Phillips, who also is in the same building, and asked her perhaps to contact the local police. This is the advice given to me by my inspector.
That, I think, is very good advice, but for one thing. We're dealing with two ladies, both of whom are suffering from a tremendous degree of inertia and are not willing to do anything about it. I've already spoken to them and begged them to do it. And the answer I got from Mrs. Stubbs, yes, 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 I will go in the morning. And then I said, well, why don't you go now, for goodness sake, because this terrible thing may happen during the night. No, no, she said, it's too late, I'm going in the morning, and do you not realise that none of the Spanish police speak any English at all?
Well, that's not strictly correct.
That's what she says.
Well, I think, I know for a fact that's not correct. Then perhaps if they're not willing to phone, perhaps if you were to phone the local station and speak to somebody there also, as I said...
I'm perfectly willing to do so, but am I likely to get anywhere if they don't speak any English?
I'm sure you will find an English-speaking officer. The only reason some officers choose to conceal the fact that they speak English is because if they reveal that, they get sent to the resorts where the louts go to.
Poor chaps, I don't blame them for not revealing it.
That's a fact, but a lot of them in fact do speak English, but prefer not to show out, as it were.
Yes, I see. So, well, I'll have a go. I mean, do you have their number?
Unfortunately, not to hand, but International Director Inquiries, I'm sure, would be very helpful. We've always found them very useful.
Stun the audience.
Hello?
Hello, is that Murray Seddon?
Yes, it is.
Hello, this is Michael Word. You left a message on my answer.
Ah, yes, and you left one on me, mine, didn't you?
I did. I'm terribly sorry for not getting back to you. I've had an abscess under my wisdom tooth.
Oh, I am sorry.
Coming through.
How awful.
So I do apologise. I was going to call you back on Monday, but I've actually not been staying at this at my home address.
No, no, that's perfectly all right.
Unfortunately, it was with regard to something for the Daily Express, which has been gone. The deadline for that was the Sunday that I was speaking about,
right,
of the previous week. But I saw your car. As I say, I saw your car on the television. It looked very interesting. I wonder if I might get some details and possibly speak to some other publications about featuring it, perhaps one of the sort of magazines dedicated to Volkswagen.
Yes, by all means.
Right. And this line's a bit, is it a bit weak for you?
If you hold on, I will go to another telephone and you'll hear me perfectly clearly, and you'll have to hold on about 2 minutes.
Splendid.
Hold on.
Hello, Morris. It's Richard Townley. Yes, I understand your message, and I do understand the problem. Hopefully, when he gets when he returns, we'll be able to sort things out. Thanks. Bye. It's Tuesday evening,
7:40. Bye.
This is Cecilia speaking. I am going to bed now, although it is very early, because I've had, for me, quite an exhausting day. I've been to Marlborough with Molly and George, had luncheon there in a pub, then they took me shopping, and, well, eventually we got back here. My number, well, is written on this piece of paper, 684534. Code number 0488. But I don't know if that's the right number because I've got a different telephone. Anyway, if you want to ring me tomorrow, I will be here certainly till about lunchtime when I go with Caroline.
Hello? This is phone number 540302, Tina Lansdell. I'm just phoning to say that I have the photocopies for you. Can I perhaps deliver them tomorrow at some time or other? Thanks.
Hello, Morris. If you give me a ring in the morning, I've got some news for you. Okay? The situation is that John's still living here, but they hope to do something tomorrow. Okay, cheers, bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, I was going to ask you something. One is, two things really. One is, can you possibly come to luncheon or come here for the day to do your few jobs that we discussed on the telephone? On Sunday instead of Saturday, because I made a mistake. I didn't realize that Saturday is tomorrow.
Just let me have a look and see there. Just hang on. No, I'm frightfully sorry. I've got all sorts of prior engagements. I cannot do that.
No. Well, now, there's nothing for you to eat if you come tomorrow, and I shall have to cancel this good woman who I accepted her invitation to go to Marlborough. She's then going out to lunch somewhere and going to leave me to browse around and look for things, and on her way back she will pick me up.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.